You ready, Sherry?
We are ready.
Okay. Okay, the March 24th work session is now called to order, so we'll do the roll call. Mr. John Hopdyke?
Here.
Here. Mr. Izzo?
I'm trying to find my name.
I'm here.
Elon Musk has been here and you've been relieved.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I couldn't Rolio's work for that.
Here.
I'm here.
Yeah. Robert's here.
Oh, I got it.
Mr. Berman's on vacation, and I don't know about Mr. East. He was in Sun River 2 days ago.
Marty got stuck there.
I haven't heard anything.
It's spring break. So maybe he has family and they're recreating.
No, he doesn't. His wife sent me a picture of him drinking beer. And there was like four empty glasses on the table.
He's recreating.
Do not drive.
Sun River, so. You know. Okay, so we did a call to order. New business, number two. Apparently no new business. So, number 2A, review and discuss the city council / commission's goals. Mr. Durek.
Thank you. This is the first of three agenda items we have for the work session. I included in your packet a copy of the council's goals as they've been adopted for the upcoming fiscal year, and then also a copy of what you guys had adopted as goals. I did not share our department goals. Moving forward, our department, each department's going to have about 3 to 5 goals that they correlate to council priorities and Vision 2040. So I thought I'd just kind of run through really quick, and I've got it up on the screen here. I trust you all had a chance to take a look at it. The council's goals. One of them has to do with the ensuring the city's long-term financial sustainability. We've got a 7-year financial strategy that the city administration's working on with council. 10-year capital improvement plan as well. Try to just get a better handle on capital projects and resources in that regard. A desire to basically try to wipe out as many gravel roads as possible with the gravel road paving plan. And part of that will be coming through urban renewal, where those gravel roads are within urban renewal districts. And outside of that, it will be coming from resources such as gas tax, our local and state gas tax. And then the ever-present and challenging Big Creek Dam replacement project. Next focus area really gets at a little bit more of the community engagement. And for our department, that largely comes through, I don't want to restart. Sorry, got the magic little flashing thing that says I have to restart this in about an hour and a half. So our outreach from community development tends to be in the context of active projects like city center revitalization. I expect that's kind of where we fit under this focus area. So broadening the city's technological footprint, its infrastructure, its online presence, a number of items that fit there, such as renovating the city website, which is actually ongoing, will extend into next fiscal year, and then doing a fair amount of integrating of our existing technology and trying to improve upon that. We have a number of things that are done by hand, such as room tax reconciliation, and a lot of the business licensing is handled that way. So the more that they can get automated, the better. And it does touch on all departments, including community development. A number of the focus area 4 gets a beautification. A number of different initiatives are listed here. I think the big ones for us would be both the city center revitalization I don't know, you know, it's, that's one of those where there may be some interim things that could be done, and then there's the final streetscaping and a lot of that work that goes in on the large infrastructure projects going to be many years down the road. So it's kind of finding where that fits. South Beach Urban Renewal, our department will be largely focused on that through the end of this year and through much of next year, because we have to commit all of our remaining projects by the end of this year, but many of those will be under active design and construction through the next full year, if not a little bit longer on a couple of those. That district shuts down formally in 27. Yeah, you've got some tourism focused aspects like a potential trolley are in here. Gets blended in with some of the work we've been doing actually in partnership with the police department on creating some additional tools in the nuisance code that get at property maintenance. That's not just, you know, it's a dangerous building that it's unsafe to occupy, but trying to head that off before it's dangerous. And frankly, if we do that in an effective manner and can get folks who are having a hard time maintaining their homes lined up with the appropriate resources, maybe they don't lose those homes. So a focus in that particular arena. This one's a lot more focus area 5 is more HR oriented. I won't claim that we have much of a role in focus area 5. other than that, like all departments, we need to be thinking about, where are we going to be in 5 years? You know, where are we, you know, in terms of our staffing and staffing needs and just be on top of that. Emergency preparedness works as well in here. There may be, for example, wildfire mitigation is something we may want to pick up in terms of defensible space, even though we're not, from the state's perspective, a high-risk area for wildfire, you know, yet. You know, so focus area 7 is one that I do expect that we'll be spending quite a bit of time in, and continuing to try to do what we can to support the housing production in our community at all price points, and also I guess carving out a role on the efforts to support homelessness. Basically, you know, right now where that stands, you know, we're under a pilot program from a session or two ago where the state provided resources to 7 or 8 rural communities, capacity building funding, so that we could start to kind of come together and create a structure that can effectively support, warming shelter services and day services and all of that kind of stuff. And we're at this point now where, the county was able to stand up a shelter now on a permanent basis. We didn't have that. Now we do. And are beginning to support more day services, and the discussion is really where do the cities fit in terms of a sustainable funding model and how much state funds need to come in to make that happen too. And so we're kind of working through that right now. I think it's going to be triage for the upcoming fiscal year, just making sure that there's a, you know, the shelter service that's available. I think the county, especially with uncertainty of some of the federal money that's filtering its way down and how counties in particular are going to have to adjust with a changing dynamic in terms of federal resources, you know, we may be in a position where we're, you know, the county's going to say, okay, if we can get X amount from the local governments, we can operate a shelter and day services in this manner. If we get a smaller amount, it'll have to be in this manner, and then there'll have to be some policy choices. So that's where the city council's at for the upcoming year. I'm going to bring up your goals.
How's the city doing on vacancies or unfilled positions? Has the engineering group gotten additional help?
Engineering is beginning to finally make some progress. We have the assistant city engineer's been here now for a few months. We have a senior project manager where an offer has been made and they're in negotiations right now, so that position might get filled. And then we have active recruitments going for a tech and another project manager. So it's one of those things, particularly on engineering and project management, when there's a pile of projects out there on the private side, we can never get anybody to fill those positions. When things start to slow down on the construction side, private side, all of a sudden, we get a few more applicants. I hope that's not the case, why we're starting to see quite a few more applicants, but I wouldn't be shocked.
How's the, got any word on how the state is doing on their upcoming budget?
They're going through that whole process right now. I did program in our work program another legislative update. I generally don't track the state budget holistically, but I do watch the budgets for certain departments we interact with on a regular basis.
Right.
So for our purposes, that'd be DLCD, Department of Land Conservation Development. To an extent, it's going to be Oregon Housing Community Services, because that's where the bulk of the money goes for affordable housing. And then this particular session, I think a lot of people are watching kind of where things land with the Oregon Department of Transportation, because ODOT is in crisis mode when it comes to capacity to maintain existing assets they have on the ground. And so this is a session where there needs to be some holes plugged in the dam on that front. And it sounds like that's coming together. But, there's still a lot that has to work itself out this session. And so some of these issues will be clearer down the road. A couple of on the land use side, though, that I think housing, there are going to be a number of changes we're going to need to make to our codes based on what comes out of this session. There's still a heavy emphasis at the state level on adjustments to local review processes, and it touches on a number of different areas. Some of it's land use, some of it's buildings, some of it's the timeliness of reviewing civil sets for public improvements, extension of water or sewer or storm or streets to serve projects. So I expect that we will be having to address some of that coming out of this session. Optimistic that that one of the bills, his name's escaping me right now, the representative who's behind it, but it's an SDC, and we talked about it last session, the short session. He had it, and it just didn't get all the way through, and he resubmitted it, and it's one that would allow, where the state would create a fund to backstop and guarantee SDC payments from developers, which would then allow or give local governments, I think, a lot more bandwidth to say, okay, we're no longer going to require STCs to be paid at time of building permit. We'll allow that payment to come in at occupancy, or even in some cases several months after occupancy. And if the developer doesn't come through, well, then that's the state backstop. State says, here's your money, we'll go get get relief by going after that developer. Again, the advantage there is that when they have to pay their STCs, and that's several hundred thousand dollars in many cases, up front with the building permit, it's coming out of construction financing. That's not their most favorable position there. If they can get it out of their more permanent financing, that creates some flexibility for developers. And this is principally in the context of rental housing. Is not really on the single family kind of subdivision front so much.
I have one question.
Your focus, focus area is six. I've had the unfortunate experience of being involved in several unusual situations like earthquakes and fires and stuff like that. And one of the things that I think they never planned for, which has always been a big problem, is what to do with everybody's animals. Do you know if there's any? I haven't read any of those.
When we had Echo Mountain, that's the best corollary I have, is when we had the Echo Mountain fires up there outside of Lincoln City.
Yeah.
It's my recollection that the county animal control and fairgrounds and different organizations,
I was hoping it'd be
mobilized for that purpose, so that people who were impacted, and there were a number of rural property owners, mostly rural property owners that were impacted, frankly, where they had large animals and they had no place, for those large animals. They stepped up to help them.
A couple of years ago, when there was the fires up in the north part of the county, the animal shelter, which is still at its current location before it moves to Walport, the surrounding area was filled with, horses, light cattle and things.
That's what happened.
And so, that was the rescue area.
A lot of people won't leave their residences or whatever if their animals are there. And then when you're trying to evacuate, it's a problem. That's what I was wondering.
Sure.
Sorry to...
Yeah, no worries. So let me just kind of briefly run through the commission's goals that were adopted. Substantially complete and initiate implementation of the city center revitalization plan. I think we're making pretty good progress on that. We got public event number two coming up here, second and final large public event on April 3rd. We will not be done, but I think substantially complete's fair. We will be in a position where over the summer and into the fall, we're working through the adoption documents. So we're making pretty good progress. Wrapping that up and the next piece after this is there'll be a number of pieces that probably need to run in parallel, and we're working on how we frame that for April 3rd. But one of the things is we're going to probably want to fund the preliminary design here of the solution right now, that is a couplet, the short one, so that we have a better understanding of the exact right-of-way needs, particularly on the south end, where some private property will have to be acquired, and to begin to dial in on the exact cost so that we can begin to say, okay, this is what it's going to take to build this. Urban Renewal can contribute a certain amount and begin to have that conversation with the state about, okay, how do we fill this in with available state and federal money? Because this type of project, they know that state and federal money, they being ODOT, they're going to start to focus in on, okay, how do we help make this funding package work?
The concept of the couplet, is that driven from the state Department of Transportation?
Well, that was one of a couple of different solutions that would be acceptable to the state. Again, it's their facilities that we're talking about. It was that decision's come through this planning process that we've been engaged in. So we now have a solution based on the goals and that people had set out for what we're trying to accomplish in City Center. And we'll have a chance to talk a little bit more of that on the next agenda item when we get into the online survey. Implementing the recommendations of the parking study, we're engaging with Nye Beach businesses right now and hope to have that and expect to have that up and running by the end of this fiscal year. Annexation of the unincorporated island properties, that project is ongoing right now. I'm getting quotes from surveyors to do the survey work. I think we've done a few things on the from the housing production strategy, where we did a whole code package, as you may recall, to try to be as flexible as we could to help ensure that the city's codes aren't being a barrier to the production of housing.
Would that include a rediscussion of dialing back the vacation rentals?
Well, right. I mean, that could be a part of the discussion. I think where we're at right now with vacation rentals is we're under 176 within the permissible area hard cap. And we have dedicated code enforcement with the police department who monitor and stay on top of that. And in total, we have a little over 200 and some odd short-term rentals. It's in the low 200s. And that includes the 38 or so that are slowly going away outside the permissible area boundary. How much, you know, how much further that you guys, if you guys want to look at it again, or the if the county, if the city council wants to look at it again, the council didn't go there with their goals, as you can see. But that can be part of the discussion. The other area with housing, you know, outside of what I expect we'll need to implement coming out of this legislative session, I'd like to do the SDC piece because we've got an SDC methodology that's up for amendment. It's been an opportune time to provide for a deferred payment concept on that. That'd be a good one. We still have an opportunity probably to look at rental housing habitability. We took a run at a grant for that, didn't get it. Got some good feedback on that, on what we might need to do for that to be successful. Right now, the nuisance code stuff is really about exterior building maintenance. It's not about the habitability of the interior of a residence. So that's rental housing habitability is a different critter. And how could that be sized and scaled appropriate to a community of our size so that you could actually make that program work? I think that, you know, that can be explored a little bit more. We will need to shift at some point to an economic, to a buildable lands. We're running out of industrial land. So that's one that we probably will want to do. We haven't moved forward with that yet. That was one of your goals last year. We have been working on the homelessness task force that we participate, our electeds participate. So that's been going. Haven't seen any movement on dark sky, and we haven't done anything on the erosion control or stormwater management as yet. Dark sky is still going to, I mean, the initial discussion there really is with the utility district, with all of the street lighting we have, and whether or not we could get a project going where, say, all of the Acorn decorative lights are capped and shielded. We wanted to start there before you move into private side. As you know, we did add a small code provision as part of that nuisance code update, which gets at nuisance lighting, and our police department are gearing up for that. They've purchased their foot candle monitors, or are in the process of purchasing their foot candle monitor. See how that goes. And then we... see here. We have no covered bike storage. There were some cycling related changes that were part of one of the packages code amendments, but it wasn't really a focal point. The refinement we did to Night Beach really had more to do with Makers District. And so kind of that artisan who's working, maybe you would remember that code update we did. It was very targeted to kind of trying to create some flexibility for those basically cottage industry, industrial type activities that would be appropriate there.
Is there something more that you would expect us to look into relative to the design district? No.
Not right now. I think one of the challenges we're running into with design districts, and we're going to be bringing a package of form-based code, which would be so City Center will have its own too.
Right.
One of the challenges we're running into is how do we continue to implement those as they're structured, given the holes the state's poking into our ability to implement those codes,
right,
with these various legislative changes. So that's probably one... probably would be a very good look, is to look at our design standards coming out of this legislative session, because what we get this session, when added to what we got last couple sessions, is really putting us in a difficult place to implement these design codes as they were originally constructed. So that might be a good one for us to...
For this next fiscal year.
Yeah.
Kind of a look. Compare and contrast and
right.
Find loopholes, if you will, around some of the state requirements that we might not be terribly happy with.
Yeah. And then the last item here, which is the housekeeping one, where housekeeping work that we're doing on the comp plan and code would be the last one. So, again, I wanted to begin to get this out to you because, you know, over the next meeting or two, I'd like to kind of get a list of goals that you're comfortable with for the commission kind of hammered out. And so I just wanted to kind of cover where we're at now and get your thoughts on which of these items or if there are new items you think should be a priority and fit kind of with the direction the council's going as well, where I could weave them into their focus areas too. So I heard design standards, double back. John, is that kind of something you think could be everybody else? That'd be reasonable?
Yep.
Reasonable.
Okay.
So did you happen to see the list, the filtered list from the state of Oregon on state lands they'd like to emphasize for housing?
State lands?
They just published it like a day or two ago.
Oh, I haven't looked at that.
So there was an unfiltered all state lands publication. They just put a map out of everything Oregon owns.
Yeah.
But now they have a filtered list that the governor has directed be pursued for housing. I don't think they looked at topography because the one in this area that I found, there's only one dot anywhere near Newport. It's the parcel up, kind of a weirdly configured parcel by the recycling place, 72nd-ish.
Yeah.
Kind of wraps, it's almost like a dumbbell property, wraps around it. Looks pretty heavily.
That would
heavily,
be the quarry up there?
Heavily treed. It's got the quarry.
Yeah, that's Iron Mountain Quarry. Right.
But there is a parcel, part of that parcel, that's a P1 that looks like it's in the city limits, right? The rest is not?
That could be the
growth
case.
Boundary, I think?
That could be the case up there. I have to take a closer look. I haven't.
Might be it. Worth kind of looking at that in light of if they want to, you know, they're talking about maybe doing RFPs or something, offering land for free, things of that nature. How can we facilitate maybe future development? Like if it's P1, what should it be? What could it be? There is a parcel that is developable. The rest of it, I think, seems kind of nonsense.
It's next to the garbage dump. And if the wind's blowing, you've got a problem, right?
Yes. Well,
it's kind of like Toledo. I mean, parts of Toledo become uninhabitable when the wind is blowing in a certain direction.
Part of it, too, is just how much more life does that quarry still have? I know we engage them in a discussion about utilizing that quarry for base material for the reservoir reconstruction project and roads and whatnot. And they said no. And the reason we got from them was there's a limited amount of material still left in that quarry, and they're trying to kind of reserve it for emergency use and whatnot. So, so maybe to your point, John, you know, in addition to other parcels, it may be that quarry may be phased out too. It'd be worth a conversation with the state about it.
Yeah.
Economic opportunity analysis, industrial side. That was a goal. We haven't really done anything with it just yet. I think city center is going to be a significant focus, not just the preliminary design, but we're advancing some funding for business assistance. And we're going to want to kind of dial in what that looks like. Is that business facade improvement grants? Is that financial assistance to help businesses try to deal with costs of aging buildings so that they can redevelop, like asbestos abatement, things of that nature? How much of that, if any, should be reserved for when we actually do the major transportation improvements? and businesses, you know, don't have the kind of access they would normally have, and so they're going to be looking for some assistance through the course of construction. Or some of that, should some of that be reserved for some sort of program to minimize displacement if we're successful in City Center and all of a sudden, you know, you start to see redevelopment and prices go up and existing businesses displaced. We don't want that. Should some of that be reserved for that purposes too? So I think there's going to need to be more work on that front. We're not going to get it fully fleshed out with the City Center Revitalization Plan. It's probably a discussion and a bit of work that the commission will need to do for the upcoming fiscal year. What do you guys think?
Good.
Okay. So on housing, definitely want to take a look at the STC component. We're going to need to respond to what the legislature does. Do you want to look at short-term rentals? And if so, in what context?
Shouldn't we wait and see what the state's budget looks like?
I mean, that's fine.
I'm not in Salem, but I read that there's shortages. Transportation needs a keep up with the roads. Schools, they want more money. There's question marks about how much the federal government's going to continue to fund, whether it's forest fires, whether Medicaid, Oregon Health Plan. Might be prudent to at least see what resources we have.
So what we would be looking at would be, do we want to scale back the 176 to, let's just say 160, so that you get more housing, affordable housing?
Bill, when is the state budget done? Is it done by the 1st of July? No, Eric?
I would imagine it would be. That would be the typical fiscal year.
Right. Yeah, they're working through that. I don't know. I'm struggling with the connection between the state budget and short-term rentals. We can look at the short-term rental program. I can certainly do a report for you to take a look at kind of here's how it's working now. The council asks about that from time to time. You know how are things going? What's the wait list? What are the issues you're running into with short-term rental licensing and renewal? Has anything changed? How's the contract, third-party contract services going, that kind of thing? I could certainly bring that forward to you at some point, and then maybe once you take a look at that, you could decide whether or not you want to dig into it further or leave it alone. Or
seems prudent to plan, but if the funding isn't there, at some point, you know, the city may have to scale back.
Okay, well, they might, but that would be a very unpopular thing.
I've actually had a situation where I've sat in or I've been involved with some of the housing issues that are coming up right now statewide and the funding, and it's...
There isn't any.
It's... You may be right. There may be some issues with garnering some federal money.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yep.
Well, there's not much in the way of grants out there.
That's what I do. I'm a grant writer, so...
Right. It's like zero, isn't it? Or close to it?
It's not looking good.
Well, I know. It's
going to Hawaii and North Carolina. And...
The money, it's just like when they had Katrina in 2005. Katrina relief, a lot of the money went to rebuilding that area.
Right.
Now we have North Carolina, you have Southern California, and you have those issues.
Oh, you still
even have Hawaii that they
have. Yeah, I was going to say, you still have Maui.
And that's probably where the money should be earmarked for the people that had all the loss. But it's up in the air right now.
So if anybody does, kind of this is the last call for any burning desired goals for the upcoming year. I just need to move to the next agenda item. We've got about 20 minutes to go through. I'd like to get through those survey questions because we've got to get that piece tied off. That survey goes live April 1st.
That's fine.
And then what I'll do is I'll just bring this back based on the conversation we had and try to work in some of these concepts, and you'll have another chance to poke at it.
And I think for those we're working on but they may carry into next fiscal year, maybe you can just kind of recharacterize the tail end that we're going to do next fiscal.
What we're going to be doing.
Right, like Civic Center, that's going to
be
doing that for the rest of our lives. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, rest of our lives. Could very well be. That's a fair point. Okay, I'm going to move on here. So I'm going to go ahead and bring up the survey questions real quick. And the last item for the work session, that memo, that can be deferred. That's not a high priority right now. But the survey is, because we've got to get these survey questions hammered out. And so I've got a limited amount of time to provide GLA additional feedback. So I'm going to go ahead and share this. Cooperate. It's going to pop up. Okay. So a lot of what, if you've seen these before from GLA, we had this conversation for your, for the first public event as well. So I'm not going to spend any time on advertising and whatnot. I welcome any comments you guys have in terms of the approach. But I really wanted to just get at the content of the survey. So you have a welcome page. And in the upcoming days, what we're going to see is they're going to merge the graphics in with the text content. What you're seeing right now is just the text content. You know, so what is City Center? You're going to have the project area graphics for that. We're going to have a what we've heard page. So this is going to basically kind of encapsulate, okay, from public event one and the series of workshops we had with that, we had some focus group sessions too. This is what we got out of that. And so you'll see, you know, what was important to workshop and focus group attendees, you know, what was important to survey respondents. I mean, they touched on a number of the same themes, the percentage is a little bit different, but you know, the point being, as we go through this, a lot of what we're going to be doing is, okay, here's what we heard. Here's what we heard as it relates to the project goals as well, which there's a lot of alignment there. Here's what we've done. Is it addressing and responding to these points? So then that's talks a little bit about goals, future walkable city center. You'll get some graphics, survey questions here. US 20, as it's set of graphics. A focus on community gathering spaces. Want to get farmers market will be part of that conversation. Streetscape enhancements will be part of that. Okay, here we go. Survey and next step page.
So
on
that section, I think it's page 9 of the actual document under implementing the plan.
Mm-hmm.
In the second paragraph, there's a declarative statement, city general funds will not be used for this project. A, I don't think that's true, and B, it contradicts a later statement that city general funds may be considered for the project. I just found it an odd statement.
Okay, no, that's fair. Sure. Where was this? That's a page, I'm on a page 11 here. Where would that be?
It's on 9 of the document, which is our 19. Of the package. Implementing the plan under survey and next steps. second paragraph there.
City?
You got it up there.
City journalism. Well,
because there's a later statement that says that would be part of the many different possible funding sources, which is what I would assume.
Yeah, I think we want to be careful with that. I don't think we want to make a, I agree with you, John. I don't think we want to make a declaratory statement that no general funds will be used in the project. It's certainly not going to be the principal source of funding.
Right.
Principal source is going to be urban renewal.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's good. I appreciate that. So, survey questions. So this one would be, you know, we think we met the goals of an active mix of uses in a walkable environment through infill, lighter, and buffered sidewalks. So do you agree? You know, do you think, you know, so not, we had a conversation about, you know, you don't want to just say, do you ask a question, do you think we met the goals in a very general sense? We wanted to kind of put into that, okay, here's how we think we met the goal. Do you agree? That way, at least it gives them something to, oh, I see what they're getting at here.
I'm wondering for those first five questions, rather than repeating, we think we met the goal, we think mm-hmm. we met the goal, just to respect people's time.
Right.
Because they're going to fade out by about question nine here. Is there a way to maybe like assemble one through five with just a short statement about there were specified goals and they included some just one little thing above, and you get rid of the we think we met thing five times.
Got it.
It's a question. Maybe it's not feasible, but just seemed repetitive. I love the idea of being specific about the goals rather than some general statement. How'd we do?
Right. Yeah, no. I'm just jotting this down.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I can talk to him about that, see what we can do so it's not so repetitive. Okay.
One other quick thought is question six makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you look at question 12, I think there's a nuanced difference here they're trying to get at. But should we use buildings to make the sub areas look different or connected? One or the other. You either think they should be connected or you shouldn't. It just seems like, is there just one question we can ask about that, or is that one necessary?
Oh, thank you.
Such a subtle difference between them. Only geeky people like us would pick that up, right?
Six and 12. Fine. Question mark. Okay. That's helpful. Let's see what we had here. Okay, so let's see here. We do try to limit the number of open-ended questions. There are only so many of them we can do because the consultant's got to compile all of the distinct answers. We thought one would be good about what types of streetscaping improvements do you think are important? 10 really starts to get at what I was talking about earlier about what kind of, you know, what in their view, what are the priorities for small business assistance? Can at least start to give us some insights as to where we should be prioritizing our time.
On number 10, we have asbestos hazardous materials cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
You're a small business, unless you're doing some renovations inside, you don't know if you have asbestos in there or not. So, does this kind of get to the fact that the small business needs to poke around in their ceiling or in their walls to see if they've got that?
No,
I mean, if they have it, by law, they have to get rid of it.
I think that specifically gets at renovations. I mean, that's when it's going to come up, when they're looking to do a renovation,
right,
and they didn't anticipate the cost of having to abate asbestos that was in the tiling or in the, you know, in the ceiling materials or whatever.
So maybe clarify, during construction, I think the intent of that bullet is during road construction.
Right.
Okay.
It is. Then that
versus
would...
bullet two is really speaking about renovation of their business. So can we just maybe try to make it those points?
No.
Isn't that what happened
yep.
with the Dr. Cookson's old office that renovated for homeless shelter? It was delayed because of the presence of asbestos that had to be removed.
Yeah.
I think, Joe, you're right. You don't discover it until you're doing some renovations.
Right. No, I think your point, though, too, is it's a good one. During construction is meant during road construction, during, you know, when a business doesn't have its normal access and,
right.
and they take a
right.
financial hit as a result right. of that. Are there any other categories under 10 that you can think of that aren't currently listed? This was the best we could come up with, so. Okay, so 13, I wanted to just touch on, this gets at a lot of the work that HerbWorks is doing as part of this project, and this gets at the form-based codes. And this is really trying to get at, you know, when you think about different ways to build housing, what is most important to you? It'll help us as we put a form-based code together. You know, part of this gets at, and I've explained it to folks, is the tighter you define the box, the more consistent the look and feel of what you're going to see. That's the pro. The con is, it may be, it's not for everybody, and so you're probably not going to see the same level of development because some, you know, people are not going to want to do that, and since the form-based code would force that, they just won't do the project. On the flip side, if you have a bigger box, which provides more flexibility, you don't have as consistent of a look, but it's more flexible for people to do different things.
You get away from a cookie-cutter design.
Right, so this is trying to get at getting at that kind of stuff. But it also pokes at some other things that might be important. We may want, you know, for example, weather protection. If we're trying to create a walkable area, that becomes a pretty significant issue, which means, you know, we could draft the code that, you know, if you're doing a redevelopment project adjacent to these new wide sidewalks, you're going to have to put an awning up because we want the weather protection. We could do that, but is that important to folks or not? That's one of those questions there too, you know, require weather protection or let developers decide on an individualized basis. Start to kind of get a sense of, you know, where's the community at? Same with size and locations of signs. Another one pokes at the concept of how we best accommodate deliveries, you know, through alleys or have areas on the main street reserved for loading purposes. You know, where's folks' heads on some of these issues? Did that kind of whole battery of questions make sense to you? Kind of the back and forth, or?
I like it. On the last bullet.
Yeah.
So I'm just trying to remember all the state mandates.
Right.
Did they kind of take that one away already or not, relative to our ability to not allow ground-level housing? If you propose it, don't we have to allow it?
You know, we don't have to allow it in all circumstances in all commercial zones. They've kind of picked away at it in that if it's an affordable housing project,
okay,
we have to allow it.
Okay.
Market rate, no. So, you know, you've got that
yeah.
in play there.
So there's still some optionality. All
right. Right.
That's cool.
You know, some areas, such as along 101, maybe that doesn't make as much sense for ground-level housing. you do still have a need for some office space, even if it ends up in a project where that's maybe that's daycare or you know, support services for a series of different affordable housing projects, you know, that kind of stuff. 14 gets at parks.
Can we go back?
Sorry.
To
13?
Yeah, actually, it would be 8, 10, and 13.
8, 10, and 13. I'm going to go back up there.
Okay. This is going to be a written survey, right, that they hand out, or is this we're going to verbally walk them through?
No, it's a good question, Bill. This is a online survey. This is not so it will be
online.
A series of slides with a combination of graphics and questions.
Okay. Well, like 8 and 10, how important are the following? And then we have Likert scale 1 to 5.
Yeah.
So we want to rank each one of these bullet points, bench, public art, et cetera, on a scale of 1 being lowest, 5 being highest.
Yep.
Maybe we should spell that out to them.
I assume that's highlighted because that's something they still have to fill in.
They still have to fill it in, yeah. That's why it's highlighted.
Okay.
It'll end up in the actual online survey that they just, this was about content. They just wanted to make it clear that this will have a Likert scale associated with it.
Okay. Then on 13, choose between the two options. So I assume when it comes out, they put a check mark next to the one they want.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay.
Is there a reason that other under number 8 is number 9? Or is that, shouldn't that just be
that's bold? Typo.
And 10 is really 9?
Yeah.
This is the typo. Maybe they can fix the numbering. All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe this, it's like
I'm in favor of
13. I understand. Leave it that way and see if they're paying attention.
But they do have a number 13.
So just to be clear, this JLA provided this in an initial draft format. We had one round of, through a video conference call, kind of running through the content and making some changes. So it's in a pretty rough format still.
Oh, yeah.
And this is,
I'm glad you had the chance to bring it to us. I mean, I know this was kind of a bang-bang at the plate thing for you, so appreciate that.
But, yeah, they still have a fair amount of cleaning up to do. That's my point. So 14 is about trying to get a sense of where folks feel resources should be invested for gathering spaces. Part of that gets at, is there an appetite or desire to see, some of the existing parks that are within the city center area further expanded? And there'll be graphic diagrams of what some of these can look like an expansion of Founding Rock. Which would extend it south through some parking lot area and make it a little bit bigger and maybe more useful. And then certainly I think we want to get some, this concept would keep the farmer's market at that parking lot and would probably involve some construction of covered parking that could then provide more shelter for the market so it could stay for a longer period of time. Is that really kind of, are folks comfortable with that? Or is there some strong desire to see a different location for the farmer's market? We haven't heard that, but we haven't asked the question either. So we're trying to kind of get at that kind of stuff.
Isn't that driven by where you put the couplet?
Well, the couplet is not going to displace, that location is still a viable, very, very viable location for the market.
More so, I think.
More so in many ways because of how that comes around and some of the greenery and the exposure you get on the merging of that. And the crossings, I think, get cleaned up a bit.
Raleigh, although the parking lost is regained through other means. So it's essentially the same as it was, only I think more functional, a little bit better from what I saw in the last design. Yeah, I have a question though about why the state park would be listed. Because no matter what we think the state park should do, it's not our park. So why would that be something where you ask people, "What can you do to the park to make it better?"
Fair point. I would point out that when they did the last master plan for this park, it was a few years ago. There are some significant portions of that park area that are reserved for a local improvements if we choose to or ever get around to doing that.
Okay.
So if there is a desire to see more done there within the state master plan, we have the ability to pitch something to the state in a couple of different locations. The same is true with the Agate Beach State Park, kind of wayside restrooms over there up off Ocean View. Let's see. Any thoughts on these last few questions? Because we're kind of running out of work session time. And these are the last substantive ones. The rest of them are kind of your standard demographic questions that they always put in these surveys that people may or may not choose to respond
to. You know, I run across questions like that, like when you're filling out your health questionnaire, if you're going to go see the doctor or something like that. For something concerning, you know, our community or city, why do you need to know question 3? It seems
a lot of this ties back to the type of grant we have and what some of the terms are for that. People don't have to respond to it, but I don't think we have the ability under the grant to say that question is not to be asked because ODOT wants that question in there. So I think they're just trying to get a better handle all around of who's responding. Remember, part of what this is, we're supposed to be doing as well under these TGM grants is trying to get out to underrepresented populations in our community. I think that might get at that a little bit as well.
Not considering removing it then?
I mean, I can pass the concern along to them, but I don't know that we can have any of those standard questions not in there.
How about a little bit more demographic information, such as income.
They have that in there?
No, it's not.
I didn't see it in there either.
You've got age, you've got ethnicity.
You want to know why income's not in there?
Sex on there?
It's a big one.
Pardon?
It's a big one. Income. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hired all the time, Social Security, etc.
So questions 15, 16, and 17 all seem to make sense?
I guess for the average person to know the difference between a park gathering space and an urban plaza is asking a lot.
That's a good point.
I'm not sure.
I think people.
I would recognize the difference between a plaza and a gathering space. So I often consider a plaza to be a gathering space. So it just seems a little, I know what they're trying to get to, but how important is it? Can it be combined maybe into one question? I don't know. I know they identified a plaza so that one could try to picture it, but I don't even find that helpful.
I'm not sure that people would even recognize that there's a plaza at one warning.
Right.
I mean, people. I don't think people recognize that's a plaza. Looks like a parking lot.
I know that's
in
that, right.
In that strip mall.
Yeah, it's a parking lot. Yeah,
Can't tell that it's a plaza. There might be a stake in the ground that says, you know,
oh, plaza. Come on, there's a few bricks in one corner, but
it's kind of a reach, but.
Is there any major concept or theme that any of you can think of that we should be asking that we're not asking at this point?
No.
No? It seems to cover the relevant stuff.
Is the question asked about closing street? I think you call them festival streets. Somewhere's in the packet.
There was a reference to it.
Where we would close it off.
Side streets.
Yeah, one of the side streets could be closed off for
festivals.
And I don't know that there's any. I didn't notice a question about that.
Well, I don't know that these people would even
think about that.
There is a question on Festival Streets.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're good.
Sex, age.
Because I do think that's kind of important. It gives people, it forces people to think outside the box, which most people have difficulty doing. They need to be encouraged.
So we covered this agenda item as well. It's 7 o'clock.
All right.
On page 13.
Yeah.
Under number three, your race ethnicity. I think we got a typo there. Hispanic / I never heard the term.
No,
Latino.
I haven't. I don't know. No.
Supposed to be, isn't it supposed to be Latino?
Oh yeah, they didn't. It's a typo on their part.
Yeah, it's just a typo.
Thank you.
Representing. Yeah. Okay.
Back quickly.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for your comments. I appreciate it.
Okay, we're just having a quick bath, a quick restroom break here.
Excuse me, Chair Brannigan, are we adjourned?
The work session's adjourned.
The soft
gavel. The gavel's holding up my iPad thing.